Welcome to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
We're just two lifelong nerds back again this week, 9 p.m. It's the time right now. Wednesday's the day.
That's when it's happening.
We're here to drop some knowledge
on you. At this exact time.
At this exact moment in
time. That's the whole radio show. We really just let you know what time it is.
It's currently 9 p.m. in some seconds, y'all. No, this is the game about video games, or this is the show about video games.
This is the game about video shows.
This is the game about video shows. We drop some knowledge, some news, some reviews, some reviews, and some just general opinions.
Some previews.
We talk about some stuff that will come out and stuff that is coming out.
And maybe even our views.
Stuff that was 9 but is now 10.
Yeah. We'll get into that in a bit.
Yep. So, Bear, we have a website. What is the website?
Oh, we do have a website. Exppoints.com. You always have to double tap that P because there's two in the middle.
We're also on a variety of social medias. If you'd like to check us out, go to exppoints.com/social. Remember, double tap that P. Long gone are the days where I spent like
a hot minute
just explaining.
Now, I have to have content, though, to fill in the 5 minutes you would spend
explaining
this.
Something that would just play another song. Something that is not on the social page is our Patreon page. I really like to talk this up. Patreon is a fantastic for the arts type of ongoing Kickstarter project. It's patreon.com/experiencepoints is the page for us. You can go there. You can donate some money. It's a recurring thing. You can set a limit. Every piece of content or every month, we will get paid from your generous donations and you and all the other patrons that would help donate to us. And we'll do stuff on air. We'll give you a shout out. We'll send you a bumper sticker. We'll take a selfie with, you know, pictures of
you. Let me take a selfie.
Yep, we'll take a selfie. And that's a song. I'm vetoing it right now.
We will. Oh, come on.
Never on this show. Anyway, we're going to kick off a song, kick it off the right way. This is a classic, The Will of One by the Proto Men. We're going to come back and we're going to throw some more stuff at you. I'm MG.
And I'm still Red Bear.
You've been listening to Experience Points on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM, KSLU.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU. This is still Experience Points, and I'm still MG.
I'm always Red Bear.
That was The Will of One by the Proto Men. Awesome.
Always
stuff.
Love the Proto
I think, like,
Man.
That's one of the first songs I played on Experience Points way back in the day, like, years
what
and years ago.
What the first song was?
I'm pretty sure it was the Picard song by Dark Materia. So,
and that is why you've done so well through the years.
We are going to play that later in the hour, too. After this segment.
Let's do it. Why not? We do what we want.
Within the FCC's guidelines. Yeah, I mean, we have to
But other than that, we do what we want.
Nobody's going to tell us what to do except, you know, the general manager of KSLU.
The government.
The FCC. Yeah, General Uncle Sam. So, we are going to talk about what we did last week, this past week. Bear, what have you been up to?
What have I been up to?
You're a busy man. I know it's hard.
Extremely busy man.
It's hard to condense it down.
Yeah.
So, if you had to leave some stuff out, it's okay.
I've had to leave some stuff out.
Just pick the top of the barrel, what you did last week. What did you do?
I took a nap.
You took a nap?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Did you have an uneventful week?
No. I was just talking about this. Maybe I drank too much or something because I don't recall what I did last week.
Oh, wow.
Except I did try to have a D&D group. So Nerd World Problems, at the last second, you're going to have one guy bail. And then for some reason, no one else can show up. Because that's how that works.
Yeah.
That was supposed to be our third meeting, I guess, but we're going to role play and call that a thing.
Have y'all had a game?
Yeah, we've had two meetups already.
I was like, is this the third attempt? Or
no.
Because, dude, you smell or something. Like, they just don't want to be around you.
Con funk when you're not at a con.
Someone doesn't like you or doesn't like
someone. Oh, my D&D group's trying to give me a subtle hint.
Jerks. I'm your friend, I'll tell you.
Well, and the advantage to this, though, is now we live in the modern age, so we have,
Skype?
We have Skype, but we have Obsidian Portal.
Oh, okay.
Portal.
Yeah.
So, all of our character sheets and everything's up there. And
so, you don't actually have to meet personally to play.
No, we can still do things. Yeah. Of course, you know, the point in these tabletop games is meeting.
Why don't you just play Borderlands? Why don't you just load up the Tiny Tina DLC and be like, we're going to beat Tiny Tina.
Well.
Yep, we can do that.
Okay. So, I did that. Downloading Windows 10 right now.
Yeah.
We'll get into the whole numbering thing later. Yep. And I installed Windows. No, I did not install Windows yet. I'm doing that. I installed Android L on my little cell phone-y thing.
Awesome. I mean, use
it
a little.
It is awesome.
It's Nexus 4 or Nexus 5.
It's Nexus 5, yeah. I'm braining today.
That's all right.
Anyway, so far I've had it for about 5 minutes. Stable, loading, going.
Good.
It was fun. Fun part about that, I actually went through the whole process of flashing my ROM and everything and, you know, unlocking the bootloader and all that fun stuff. Reinstall KitKat.
Nice.
So,
It could have been worse. Like,
I was super excited too, because it's loading. I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna have L. Wait, why does this look just like Kit Kat?
What if you would have installed like Froyo or something?
That
would
have been hilarious.
Ice cream sandwich, and you're like, I don't know, because you didn't have an Android device before that. You had an iPhone.
I had a Motorola Zoom back in the day.
Right, but that was like before Froyo.
Yeah.
Or before Ice Cream Sandwich or something.
Oh, yeah, that was way before.
So it's like
sandwich.
You would have something like Kit Kat, and then you'd go back to Froyo, and Froyo. You're like, I don't think this is a step forward.
And I would write a terrible review, upload it to YouTube, and be like, this is the worst OS ever. It reminds me of Froyo.
I would want to know your thought process, and you're like, what did they do? Like, they took functionality away.
I did spend a good solid half an hour playing with Kit Kat, nice. Trying to figure out what they changed.
You just go to system settings.
Because I'm like, this is like the same thing.
Fun fact, they apparently put little bugs, or not little bugs, little extras, like Easter eggs, in all of the Android things. So if you go to the system settings and you see like the version number, mm-hmm. if you just keep tapping that, something will happen. I didn't know that.
Well,
and
wait,
a friend of mine.
That's how you become a developer.
I mean,
God, you're bad at this.
I didn't.
I'm pretty sure it's the version number you tap.
Yeah, it's the version number. I didn't know that. Before I had, I have an HTC One M8 right now.
Yeah.
Before I got that phone, I had an iPhone, and I think I had an iPhone for two iterations, for the 4S and the 5. And before that, I was like a Samsung Captivate, so it was barely a good Android. Well, it wasn't really a good Android phone.
Yeah, it's the build number. You tap the build number a whole bunch of times, and then you unlock the developer options.
Oh, okay.
Which gives you cool things like some boring USB debugging, stuff like that.
You see, on all of my phones, it's just an option that's already there. Like, you just turn it on.
Oh, I see. I see.
So I didn't know.
Like,
that.
You can. Oh, there's an option for showing where you touch it, which is cool. I like the show screen or show surface updates, which gets really fun if you have a live wallpaper.
Oh, nice.
And
so
you go up, so the screen
chaos.
Flashes a whole bunch.
Nice.
So it should have an epileptic.
That's if you. That's if you. If you want to really drain your battery quickly, then you do that.
You see layout bounds. It's pretty cool.
I.
You want to do that to your Android phones, everyone? Go tap the build numbers.
I played a lot of Destiny.
I
played a lot of Destiny.
That's why we haven't heard from you lately.
I played a lot of Destiny. I did do some work on the Patreon page and some of the website stuff. And I think I haven't made a decision yet, but I think the way it's going to work is that, say, like, you know, this airs tonight or whatever. It's airing right now.
It does.
And by next week, so by next, I guess, Wednesday, probably next Tuesday, it will be online. So that's what I'm going to do. It may take
All
a
right.
week. It may not take a week, but... It may take a week to get the previous
Between
show
Between 10
online.
Seconds and 1 week.
Between 10 seconds it after it airs and 1 week. Though, I'm thinking we may be able to do something like Patreon users get the MP3 quicker. Maybe
yeah,
you donate a couple dollars and we'll give you the link.
That would require us recording ahead
of
time.
We'll give you the super secret link.
Super secret link.
I did start playing another game that we're going to talk about next week because it's the big thing next week. But I started replaying this awesome game.
I know
game.
What you did.
We're not going to talk about
it. I have played a little bit of that too,
yeah.
Just to bring back my senses.
I played it on the Dreamcast, the PlayStation 2, and
oh,
the
wow.
PC.
Oh, wow. You were hardcore. I'm just on PC.
No, we'll play it on PlayStation 2 because there's the awesome two-player version of it.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and,
yeah.
And I also...
Which actually comes into the single player if you pay attention.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. That's
you know about
totally
that.
Awesome.
You know about that. All right.
And
you have no idea what we're talking about.
That's fine. You know, inside
I
secrets.
Love it. You'll find out next week. Come listen to the show.
I kind of dug out my PlayStation 2 and...
Dusted it off.
I dusted it off. Now, it has a hard drive in it. And again, like, I
the
don't know...
The PlayStation 2s have hard drives?
The bigger ones, the original model PlayStation 2s, has a hard drive in it, has a network adapter.
Cool.
And because it didn't come with a network adapter, but they had the expansion bay. And the hard drive was a big thing with Final Fantasy XI. When you wanted to play it, you had to get the hard drive, you had to get the network adapter, the broadband adapter, and everything. Well, it uses like an ID hard drive. I think I have like a 320 gig hard drive in it right now. And all my PS2 games, again, they're sort of like a dying breed of game. Like, they don't make PS2 games anymore.
No, we're
so,
PS4,
well,
literally.
Right. But I still like playing some of these PS2 games.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with them. I mean, they're not going to be there's not going to be many people. There's not a market.
There's no market. No, they're making the correct decision to not make it. But the problem is, like, I really like some of these games, and I know that they're a niche market type game thing, like Robot Alchemic Drive. I love that game. I love the mechanics. The storyline's horrible. The voice acting is terrible, but it's like so bad it's good. It's like Starship Troopers. It's like almost a cult game. But they're never going to make that game for PS3, PS4, or whatever. They're never going to make it downloadable. So I have to sort of pick and choose when I'm going to play this so the disc doesn't get scratched up. Well, I went ahead and I loaded up Free McBoot on a memory card. It's a soft mod. And
right
I just started burning the discs to the inner hard drive via Free McBoot. and HD loader. And now it's so great that, you know, provided I don't drop the PS2, the drive could fail, the, you know, everything could really die on it disk-wise. My disks could get destroyed. And I still have all my PS2 games perfectly, not perfectly, but as perfect as they were, saved on the hard drive. So
that is pretty cool.
I did that with Wii. I still have all my Wii games. Again, I'm not condoning piracy. Because you can still get Wii games, you can still get PS2 games. You really can't get Dreamcast games too well anymore. PS1 games are kind of hard to come by.
Apparently, there's an indie market there for Dreamcast.
Yes, because of the
The OS being on the disc, I think, had a lot to do with
it. Right, the OS being on the disc, and then there was also the special MDI or DMI CD. There was this media thing on the CD that allowed pretty much anybody to make games for the Dreamcast, and that was sort of a bad thing because there was no control.
Right.
Though it does allow, you know, developers to sort of keep going with that. Anyway, so yeah, that's what I did this weekend.
Good times.
I played a lot of Destiny though, and you know what?
You're going to say you're liking Destiny overall.
I like Destiny
because I mean it's got some mixed reviews out there.
It's got some severe, and we talked about that last show. Again, check it out online if you haven't. But
the reviews are even more mixed this week.
It is more mixed. You know what? Bungie is listening to people, though. They're changing things. They're patching things. This is the first month. We're not even a month into having Destiny, and there's already so many things that have changed in it. You know, they've changed their loot system a little bit to kind of account for the random number generator wizardry that goes on behind the scenes. It seems to always screw the player, but doesn't necessarily always screw the player. They're keeping up with it, and they do things to handicap players when they make a change. Because again, it's Bungie's fault the game is the way it is. Like, absolutely.
They did make it.
They made it, right.
It is good they're listening to people. Because that's what it really comes down to when you make a game like this. It's going to be always on.
There's a few instances where they've changed some gameplay elements, like Loot Cave has been like the big thing that's been popping up, where there's been a few different spawn points in the world that enemies spawn very rapidly from. And it's very easy to kill these low-level enemies, and there's a probability, a pretty high probability that they're going to drop an Engram, which is decoded later into armor or gear or whatever. So because it's an instant spawn, you just have to be far enough away where the spawn doesn't get stopped by your presence, and you shoot into a cave. It's literally just a dark cave. You just shoot into a cave, kill all the enemies before they escape, and then they just keep coming. And you shoot until you run out of ammo. You run through, and it's just a glowing giant cave full of these blue and green and purple Engrams and ammo. And you just run through and pick it all up. Because the Engrams don't disappear. They don't despawn or whatever.
I gotcha.
So they fix those things. Again, spawn points are still there.
That's definitely a farming thing.
Every time they fix a farm point, a loot cave, another one crops up. So it's not like they're ever really going to get ahead on it. But another thing was, you know, they'd get legendary Engrams, purple Engrams, and you'd go and decrypt them, and it'd give you a blue item or a green item.
Oh, that would suck.
And that would, because you never really get a legendary Engram. And then when you get it, it turns into just a rare, not a legendary. So they did fix that. Though I think I got a legendary, and I think their marching orders were, whenever you get a legendary and then they patch the game, it's going to deconvert their legendary into a rare. So only legendaries, you know, after the patch will actually be legendary. So anyway, I don't want to go into another Destiny discussion.
Woo!
That's what you did this weekend. That's what I did.
Awesome.
We're gonna cut to a song. We're gonna come back. We're talking about a retro game. It's Metal Gear Solid this week. I love Metal Gear Solid.
Who doesn't? If you don't, you can stop listening now.
You can stop listening right
now. I'm not even going to miss you.
This is Video
Games. Support us on Patreon.
By Sim Gratina and Kathy Chan. This is one you brought to the show, actually.
Oh, yeah, this is the Video Games. I love this.
Pretty cool song.
It's me in high school.
I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
You're listening to Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM, KSLU.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
That was Video Games by Sim Gratina featuring Kathy Chan. Pretty awesome. I love the robotic vocoded ending of that song. I don't know. It's something about maybe I love Cylons. Maybe that's it.
Are a Cylon.
I'm the final
plot twist.
I'm the
last time on Experience Point. No, previously on Experience Points.
Man, I still need to finish that with my fiance. We haven't finished it. We're like two episodes.
But after you do that, we need to go back. We need to take a trip to Seattle just so we can get to the AFK bar that I went to. So we can get the drink previously on Battlestar Galactica.
Awesome.
That's worth a flight to Seattle.
It's Ambrosia. It's just Ambrosia. All right, so this is the retro game of the week. Metal Gear Solid, the original. We're going to talk a little bit about
the one that wasn't just a movie that you clicked through every now and then.
Right. Right.
You know which one I'm talking about.
You know, I love Metal Gear Solid. I love all the games except Acid. I didn't particularly
like Acid.
We're going to talk
Had a bad trip.
Funny man.
No drug use,
Acid,
kids.
Acid is actually not really canon anyway, so... we're going to talk about the entire series chronology, and then we're going to talk about the legacy after Metal Gear Solid. So Metal Gear Solid, right. Hideo Kojima, director, producer,
brilliant man,
writer. I mean, fantastic individual. I never met him. I'm assuming he's fantastic. I know he's really community. He's very much about community. Anyway, game we're talking about, Metal Gear Solid. It's called Tactical Espionage Action. It's a stealth game, and it really sort of helped popularize.
Broke a lot of PlayStation controllers.
Yeah, but that's what it did. There were so many good things.
I say that. I love the game. It's an absolutely amazing game. I think I broke about three controllers playing it.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm not very stealthy. I'm more the, run and gun.
When all of a sudden you hear Otacon, Snake! Bum, bum, bum!
You know how many times I heard that?
Yeah.
Too many.
It is a game that when you're good at it, it feels good to be good at it. When you are bad at it, you have a backlog and a backstock of PlayStation 1 controllers.
You do.
Anyway, story-wise, or let's talk about some of the specs. This was published by Konami and then republished by Microsoft Game Studios for the PC. This was originally released in 1998, September 3rd, so a while back.
How to math.
I'm sorry. Like 16 plus years, like a little over 16 years ago.
It was around the PlayStation 1 era, I would say.
Yeah, PlayStation 1. this was sort of a sequel to Metal Gear 2. So we had Metal Gear Solid. You see, it's so hard to say it because Metal Gear 2, and then Metal Gear Solid. But this is, and again, Metal Gear 2 is called Solid Snake. So this follows the continuation of what happened after the events in Metal Gear 2 Solid Snake, with the protagonist Solid Snake having to go to this Alaskan type of base, this military base that was taken over by, by Foxhound, by this old special forces unit. Shadow Moses, that was the name of the thing. I'm sorry. I'm trying to, I'm remembering.
I believe you.
I'm remembering the opening of the game now. Anyway, so he goes in pretty much with just a scuba suit, no weapons, has to get all of his weapons, and he meets all of these, super soldiers that are just really, really crazy. Metal Gear, of course, is this giant bipedal walking war machine that has nuclear ordnance on it, I guess.
It's nuclear.
It's not nuclear powered. It has a missile, and that's the thing. Everybody in Shadow Moses, all the bad guys, all Foxhound is saying that we're gonna shoot the missile. We're gonna blow
that missile.
We're
gonna shoot it.
We've got the DARPA chief. We've got one of the guys from Arms Tech, the Kenneth Baker. And who would have known it? But your old commander, the colonel, Colonel Campbell, her daughter is somewhere on here. So Meryl's on base. So you need to find all these people, keep all these people safe, and it's pretty much the story of that.
That follows along. Yeah, the thing you got to find all these, and you got to remember this is a tactical game.
It's not a run and gun game. If you play, you could play on easy. I'm not even sure if there's a very easy mode.
I don't know.
But if you play on easy, you will die if you just run in. And everything in this game is sort of, it's a living, breathing universe. You run in and a light sees you. Well, there's somebody manning that light post, and they alert everybody else. And all of a sudden, you're swarming with guards. I remember walking in the snow.
You have to have patience, is the thing.
Yes, patience is something you need to have.
And cardboard boxes.
This is a full 3D game. with radar, different
alert
modes.
It was 3D. I think I just stayed in the tactical radar the entire time.
The radar is fantastic. It's Soltan radar, wherein you can see enemies moving. You can see sort of where they're looking.
Visual cones.
Before this game, I can't really say that I remember anything like that in a game.
No, I don't believe.
The cinematic storytelling of this game is fantastic because it doesn't use pre-rendered cutscenes. Everything in the game is either full motion video that was recorded that they intersplice in there that's very political and very war themed, or it's all using the game engine and the entire thing is voice acted. I don't think any part of this game is just read only text unless it's something that's, you know, that's not an interaction between two players or an NPC and then a player in the game.
Yeah, two characters.
Anyway,
that was a big deal back in the PlayStation 1 days.
Oh, yeah, like, no, the game
we have
I remember.
We don't really have that many cutscenes necessarily that aren't developed in engine anymore.
Right.
But, like, in the 90s, you would get cover art and things, and the cutscenes would look great, but then the game was crap.
MechWarrior 4. If you remember MechWarrior 4, it's the live action cutscenes.
Oh, yeah.
It honestly, it was like Wing Commander, but when Wing Commander did it, there was a novel approach to it. It had some type of charm to it because we're like, oh, that's Mark Hamill in Wing Commander,
right.
Luke Skywalker flying around, people dressed up as the Space Commander, Admirals, or whatever. And, you know, this is on like the early days of computing and gaming, so it was okay. This. Doing it all in engine in the late 90s was awesome because technology had advanced so far where we could do it with some type of cinematic styling.
And it wouldn't break the experience because that's what would happen.
Right.
Immersion is just lost once you switch to a cutscene that looks completely different from the rest of the game.
Absolutely. We got a little bit of legacy here. You know, when we talk about the legacy, chronology, and everything, it's a very successful series established by Metal Gear Solid. Now, really, it was established in the original Metal Gear and Metal Gear 2 games for the MSX and, I believe, MSX2. But Metal Gear Solid really did help kind of push this. I think the demo was Metal Gear Solid, Siphon Filter on a demo,
yeah.
And then it was like Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2 or 1. It was like the warehouse level. I remember playing
that warehouse. I want to go to that warehouse.
I played that PlayStation Underground disc till it broke. There are several games in the series, so I'm going to start from the chronology.
Let's do it.
In game years. Not release dates. So in game years, there's 1964. This is Snake Eater, which is Metal Gear Solid 3. There is, in 1970, Metal Gear Solid Portable Ops, which is, I believe, now an HD version for PS3 and PS Vita and PS Portable.
Woo!
Peace Walker, which is on the same bit.
Just
1974. 1975 is Ground Zeroes, which just came out, I guess, beginning of this year. On PS4 and Xbox One, as well as I think PS3 and Xbox 360. In 1984, it picks up right after Ground Zeroes, Phantom Pain. That is Metal Gear Solid 5. That has not come out yet. It's coming out. It's impending release. Then we jump to 1995, so a full 16 years.
16 years, yeah.
No, I'm more than that.
Why did I agree with you?
I'm sorry, 11 years.
Never just agree with MG.
1995, I'm bad at math. 1995, Metal Gear. 1999, Metal Gear 2, Solid Snake. 2005, Metal Gear Solid. So
wow,
again,
I thought it was the 90s.
No.
I really did.
It came out, well, okay, again, this is game years. So
I'm sorry, you confused me.
It was released in 98, but in the game it was 2005.
Got to keep these years straight. Man, this is so hard.
In Sons of Liberty, it was 2007 for the first part and then 2009 for the second part. In Guns of the Patriots, that's Metal Gear Solid 4, 2014, so Guns of the Patriot happens this year. And then there's Metal Gear Rising Revengeance, which I was hoping they wouldn't count as canon because it's a ridiculous game. It looks like it should be made by Capcom. It's so ridiculous. But that takes place in 2018.
Is that the one I think it is? Yes, that is the one I think
it
is. I love that game. You shut up.
Ridiculous one.
It is absolutely ridiculous and fun.
It is pretty fun. So there's a lot that can be said about the series. And again, I don't want this segment to run super, super long, but everything in the series of games. And again, Metal Gear...
As long as you have a cardboard box, it will be okay.
Metal Gear, it established so many tropes in video games now. Metal Gear and Metal Gear 2 Solid Snake, or yeah, Metal Gear and Metal Gear 2. They were early games, and you can find these on Metal Gear Solid 3, as well as some of the collections or whatever. If you've never played one of these games, you're in luck because there is an HD pack kind of a, I think it's called the Legacy Collection for PlayStation 3.
Makes them so much easier to play.
It's 1, 2, 3, 4, and I think that's it. Then there's the HD Collection that has Portable Ops, Peace Walker. Yeah, it has Portable Ops and Peace Walker. So that's really cool. You can get all of that. I don't think it has Portable Ops.
You don't think it does?
I think it's Peace Walker 2 and Solid 2 and Solid 3, and that's it. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It's a game that can stand on its own today. It's been remade for the GameCube as Metal Gear Solid, The Twin Snakes, with a full re-recorded vocals, re-recorded music, brand new. I think it was the same graphics engine as Metal Gear Solid 2, so it was an updated graphics engine.
If all these remakes don't tell you to play this game, I don't know what will.
Yeah, it's because continuously
all this
been updated.
Effort they've been bringing it up to make it more playable.
There were also this gave the rise to separate type of trainer games. Like there was Metal Gear Solid VR missions.
VR missions
was a completely separate game. And separate section of the future games that allowed you to pretty much master the game by going through a series of virtual reality missions that had a very pointed purpose. You know, kill the targets using a rocket launcher at long range. Well, that got you better at the rocket launcher. So if you could win VR missions, then whenever you went through the story, the gameplay was actually more gratifying because you could jump in on hard mode and you could do really well. Anyway,
yay.
Don't want to spend a super long time.
This is a tutorial.
Yeah, it is a game that's a tutorial, but it was like $10 to $15.
It was actually pretty fun.
Yeah, too. I mean it was really great. It also did some goofy things, like had like a picture mode, like a theater mode where you can watch all the cutscenes. You could also take pictures of some of the eye candy characters in the game, which is really funny. We're talking about that because the next segment is actually on women in video games and how they're misrepresented and their background like decorations. But we are going to actually cut to a song. And we're gonna throw two songs in.
Throw them two.
This
up.
Is Metal Gear Solid 2 theme song by Ferdy K16.
How appropriate.
And then we're gonna play again. I said we'd do it. The Picard song by Dark Materia.
Right.
So two songs: Metal Gear Solid theme song by Ferdy K and Picard song by Dark Materia. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
You've been listening to Experience Points on Southeastern Zone
90.9 FM KSLU.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. Still Experience Points, still MG.
Still Red Bear.
That was the Picard song by Dark Materia. Before that, Metal Gear Solid 2 theme song by Ferdy K16. We're going to step off into it this time.
Right on into women in my video games.
Women in video games. I had a pretty interesting conversation with someone that, she said she was a feminist. And I made the mistake. First off, don't be rude like me, because I felt like I came off really rude.
Never be like MG.
I was trying to be helpful, because I look at feminists, the word feminism, as sort of an extreme. You have chauvinism, and then you have feminism, and those are polar opposite extremes, and in the middle are the normal people. And one, that's rude because you're assuming that feminists aren't normal people or chauvinists aren't normal people, like they can't have normal, intelligent views. And two, if they're saying they're a feminist, you probably should just take their word for it, because they probably researched the fact that they're feminists more than you have.
You say that. I don't trust people in general.
Maybe.
I just think everyone's dumb until proven otherwise.
And we did notice over the break that we spent a lot of time talking about Metal Gear Solid, so we're going to try to wrap this up sort of quickly and get the opinions out there, and then if it's a big deal, we might come back to it online, like kind of an episode.
Yeah, reiterate opinions.
This is opinions. So here's the conversation more or less went like this with this person.
With this individual.
Well, we talked about how women in video games are sort of, I don't know, they're marked in a lot of ways. And I've heard of Anita Sarkeesian before, but she reiterated, Anita Sarkeesian is this person, one of the people, she's not the only one, that she runs feministfrequency.com, has a lot of information regarding, a lot of opinions regarding sort of the overuse of certain tropes regarded affecting women in video games, and how women are everything from, the Ms. Male type of trope where they just take and repackage the male character with a bow on their head and call it, a female character. And maybe
the Ms. Pac-Man.
Ms. Pac-Man or the female Koopa in the Mario series. Again, there's nothing special.
Sprites.
There's nothing special about the female character in these games. They're just the girl, and then there are all the guy characters that are actually individuals and have individual characteristics, and the girl is just the girl character. She's typically shallow, bratty, loud, annoying. And that's literally how a lot of developers, you know, do the thing. Scribblenauts was another instance that they suggested.
Oh, yeah.
Scribblenauts Unlimited, there's only one girl character out of 41 other playable characters, and the only the only thing about her is that she's the twin of the original main character, and that's pretty much it. She acts exactly the same. She's just the girl. And it seems like kind of a last-ditch effort to sort of appease a certain amount of people because
to meet
somebody
the girl quota in the game.
Yeah, girl quota in the game. And we were looking up, you know, some heroines in video games and everything. And
I'll be honest, a lot of them are not very well developed. You're right.
Yeah, they're all shallow, them. Either shallow stories.
I mean, then you have Lara Croft.
Yeah, Lara Croft, you know, but
actually, Lara's a great example of a character to talk about.
It's like a success story in a lot of ways.
Well, because
I feel,
has a lot of the worst parts of women in video games. Like, to be honest,
early video game.
Well, yeah, to begin Lara. With, the reason guys played Tomb Raider was because of Lara Croft and the fan service therein.
Yep. Yep.
But then these current games are out. She's an actual real person with a great story.
Yeah, I don't think in the latest Tomb Raider, I don't think there was a cheesy, you know, sexually infused romantic line in there. I don't think it was the typical Lara Croft. It was a better developed story. She was a real person. She was scared.
We like her personality.
She's got personality. She was intelligent. She wasn't, you know, again, like the skills with a bow and arrow all of a sudden out of nowhere didn't make sense. But
whatever.
It was the charm.
Maybe she's just really good at it.
Maybe, but I mean, like, let me just put it this way. It was the gameplay that we expected from a game like Uncharted, which it was compared to frequently.
Yeah.
But it wasn't just slapping Nathan Drake with hormone supplements and putting him in the game. it was different.
Right, right.
We got a different type of game.
Character wasn't who she was just because she was a woman.
She wasn't sure of herself in the game, and that was awesome. It was good to have a real character. It was like everybody else in video games were superheroes, and all of a sudden Lara Croft's Spider-Man, who has to deal with a real life,
right,
and also save all of her friends and everything.
And this thing called character development.
Right. Another really awesome heroine, in my opinion, one of my favorite games, Beyond Good and Evil. We actually have a track at the end of the show. Beyond Good and Evil with Jade, there was very little. Jade could have been just a green character, just green. Yeah, well, that's the thing.
That's funny.
There was very little, you know, she wore like a bandana, she wore a jacket, and she had like a pole, like a staff, and a camera. But there was nothing about her being a girl that made the game any better or worse, and I feel like that was okay. The developers chose to make it a female character because they were able to tell a better story with the female character. They didn't just arbitrarily make it a female character, make the character a lead female character. Whereas in some games, like Metroid, it's not about
spoilers.
Samus. It's not about Samus. Yeah, I know. If you haven't guessed it yet, Samus is a girl. It's not about Samus being a girl until she changes into Zero Suit and it becomes a lot of fan service. And I feel like that's where the fall off is. Sometimes you're not going to make people happy. Like you can't please everybody all the time, every time. But you can make a good step forward by trying to like put to bed all of these horrible societal stereotypes of how women are supposed to act in video games. Women are not supposed to be dumb in video games.
Shouldn't be dumb.
In society, you know. Like,
yeah.
The problem is we have society.
I say anyone shouldn't be dumb. There are dumb people in the world, though.
Right.
So if they're dumb and happen to be a woman, they happen to be in a video game I'm sorry.
Right. Again, there's a ton of horrible, not horrible games. They're actually really fun games, but they do the same thing where they portray women as, I think Sarkeesian says, they portray women as decoration. And anytime,
something like Dead or Alive,
anytime,
the entire series?
Dead or Alive, anything.
But
if you,
that being
if you
said,
to,
that is the point in Dead, and,
if you,
Dead or Alive.
If you have to,
that's what sells
if you
it.
Program breast physics, breast wobble physics, that is probably a good sign that you are going to infuriate these people that are upset. There's all, you know, and again, like I said, you're not going to make everyone happy because even for Mass Effect, she had a good point with Mass Effect being a good and a bad case where even though there's a huge cult, not even a cult following, like a huge following for FemShep, the fact that she's called FemShep means that regular Shep isn't FemShep, which means Shepard is a man, which means Shepard is the default. And even though Shepard was featured on most magazines, the most magazine covers featured the default male character. By default, it is the male character that's chosen. If you went ahead with the, you know, box art, it was the male character. So it's not a character that people expected to be female. It's just a character that could have been female. And I feel like that probably marks a character as just the alternative, like not the default, just a possibility.
It's given as a choice at the beginning. You're right. You default to the male Shepard.
And that's pretty much
the sexuality of that character has nothing to do with
gameplay elements are pretty much the exact same for each.
You could actually have been a robot.
Yep. And again, that's why I like Destiny. I am a robot. I'm a female robot. I don't know what that matters. I don't know why that matters, but you
got to get the ports right.
I have a jaw, apparently. I don't know why I have a jaw instead of just a speaker. But that's something I've always wondered about robots in games.
Well,
but
you want to make them look more human, so it's less creepy.
You know, again, we didn't have a lot of time to talk about this, and I feel like we kind of sped through it. But you know, video games,
I'm going to go ahead and say this: women in video games have come a long way.
Right, but the fact that we have to say that means like how far back?
But that's always happened in general media, and video games are a younger form of media to begin with. So it's got all the growing pains that like literature and movies have already gone through. So we're just seeing it again in a new iteration.
There are some different types of games because again, the market is decidedly male.
And that comes around a lot. Decidedly teenage males. Marketers like to market to teenage males.
Yeah,
I can't tell you what they're doing on their private browsers I won't.
Don't upset the money.
Exactly.
You don't upset the money. And
in fact, you may even want to pander to the money.
Right. And that works in a lot of ways.
And then there's the artistic argument that no, you do what you think is right.
Right. And again, like
at the end of the day, that doesn't bring in money.
It doesn't, because again, women in video games, racism in video games, sexuality in video games, these are all big giant steeples to kind of climb, and you can't climb all of them at once, and you really can't climb one of them all the way and get anywhere with it, because it's not a problem with video games. It's a problem with society.
Culture. Yeah,
and
our culture. Societal culture. It's a
big, big problem. A good game, though, if you want to play it, it deals with a lot of these things, not racism so much, but it's Gone Home. Gone Home's a fantastic game. It's like $9, $10 on Steam. It goes on sale every now and then. Gone Home's a fantastic visual novel. Not really a game. It's a visual novel where you just explore an empty house.
Oh, yeah. I have played this one.
It is really, really good. We're almost out of time, so we're going to go ahead and cut to a song and come back. This is Nom 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 by Perry Grip.
I love that.
We're going to probably do a B-side of this later. Maybe not this week, but eventually we're going to do a B-side for... exactly, sort of a more fleshed out, uncensored,
a raw
opinion poll thing for us. Anyway, I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
You've been listening to Experience Points on Southeastern Zone
90.9 FM KSLU.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone 90.9 FM KSLU. Still Experience Points, still MG.
Always Red Bear.
But not for much longer. That was Nom 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 by Perry Grip.
I just love that title. I love that song.
Yeah, I mean,
say the title Nom Nom Nom.
That's the real. We can just say Nom Nom.
How many noms is it?
Nom 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 Nom. Seven?
Seven noms.
Seven noms. We're out of time.
Seven noms
to heaven.
But
you know what? Next
week. That should be an album.
What?
Seven Noms to Heaven.
Seven Noms to Heaven?
Or Seven Noms to Somewhere.
Seven Noms to Seattle.
Actually, Seven Noms to Somewhere. I like that.
Seven Noms to Somewhere.
That's going to be my first album if I ever get into music.
Next week, we will be here doing the same thing. Wednesdays from 9 to 10 p.m. on 90.9 FM KSLU. But you can check us out online. Bear, what is the website?
We have a website, exppoints.com. There's two P's in the middle. Double tap it.
You can also check us out on all of our social media. We have, it's exppoints.com/social. Again, our Patreon page is not up yet, but if you go to Patreon, that's patreon.com/experiencepoints, you can donate money. We'll do some crazy stuff on
the
air.
I like money.
We'll give you stuff. We may even give you this episode faster than the speed of me uploading it normally.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It's
so
like
exciting.
If you give us a dollar, then I'll get off my butt and I'll do the job. We're the Washington Redskins.
Wow.
No, the things we'll do for money. If you haven't seen that,
our job.
The things we won't do for money. If you give us a dollar, we won't do anything differently. If you give us $2, well, we'll do 100% things differently than what we did for a dollar.
I feel that's accurate. Yeah,
that's accurate. Again, sorry for the quick segment, the previous segment, women in video games. We will come back at some point and do kind of more fleshed out. Fleshed out, sort of segment online or something. So, we are going to end the night. Right now, we're gonna.
It's over. Bye. Done.
Shut up. Drops the mic. If you want more experience points, you want more MG and Red Bear, check us out online. Check out iTunes, Stitcher. Those are all on the social page. We are out. This is Beyond Good and Evil, Frame of Mind, mixed by Aurora, Super Green X, and Destructo off of OC Remix.
Yay!
It's kind of an awesome track, remixes. I'm not going to lie. And Beyond Good and Evil is fantastic. It has some really, really good music. There's an HD collection. I advise you to buy it.
Oh,
again,
it's HD collection.
Prominent. It's on PC, on Steam, and it's on PS3, I believe, and it may even be on Xbox. I don't know. It was like on so many different consoles. But again, prominent female character, Jade, fantastic work of art by, I can't remember who makes it, Ubisoft. It's Ubisoft that makes it. Anyway, Beyond Good and Evil, Frame of Mind,
check
by Aurora,
out.
Super Green X, and Destructo. I'm G.
And I'm Red Bear.
You've been listening to Experience Points on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM, KSLU.
Check us back next week.
Word.